The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with Mr. Ray Allen, Ray engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is September the 24th, Monday afternoon, 2018. Hope you're doing well. We're coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and of course the station has 24-hour live streaming at kvoi.com. Our live line number, 790-2040, anytime during the hour. And we do have Dr. David Garcia coming up at 12:30 with us on the live line. But first, of course, we begin our program with our Monday political face-off featuring this week's commentators, Bruce Ash, Mr. Ash in his fourth term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. Also, he is in now, he's got two shows, I believe, right, Bruce, under your belt, or is it three?
No, that is correct. Well, besides the Buckmaster show.
Well, of course. Your weekend
Saturday show. I have a Saturday show, which started September 8th, called Inside Track. Mm-hmm. Runs from 12 until 1, and shortly, probably sometime in early November, the show will move from 1 to 2 p.m., and it's a one-hour talk interview show. We have lots of callers who call in. And then I also do the, frequently do the America's Fabric show with Charles Heller and John McElroy and others on Sunday mornings from 8 until 8:30. And that's a wonderful show also to listen to. Whether you listen to it live, both of these can be listened to online through podcasts, but they're both great shows.
I can solve your problem about the 1 hour. Just go from noon to 2.
Well, you know, why don't you talk to station management if they're willing to sell the time for me at the same price for the 2 hours combined? I'm all over it.
All right, that of course being another department out of my control. Let's welcome
above your pay grade.
There you go. Dr. Don Jorgensen is with us, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Don, how are you?
I'm great, thank you, Bill.
Do you have any radio news that you would like to get, that you're announcing your show?
Well,
now?
I'm not in town consistently enough to host the show, but I've been on several, and probably that'll continue, and I enjoy that. Thanks.
Good. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems, i.e., Moe does house calls, and he'll take care of all the work for you by getting up on the wall your particular piece that you want, and tell them where you want it. Believe me, it will be done right. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Let's begin, gentlemen, locally, and then we'll go on to the big story nationally. But this is an interesting race that longtime incumbent Congressional District 3 Congressman Raul Grijalva, his challenger in this race in the general election, is a gentleman by the name of Nick Pearson. And Mr. Pearson raised some eyebrows during a debate on Arizona Public Television, where he said, this is a quote about Mr. Grijalva, "He's not a good example of a Mexican. He's not a good example of a Mexican-American. He's not a good example of an American. He's not a good role model for people in this community. That's why I'm running." Bruce and Don, some of your thoughts. Begin with you, Bruce.
Well, he's probably right on three out of the four. He is an American, and you know, there's no denying that. Raul Grijalva is a very complicated fellow. For all the good that he has done within his community, his behavior sometimes isn't so exemplary. And I know that there was some discussion during that debate where Mr. Grijalva's drinking habits were discussed. I'm not sure that Nick ever saw him inebriated or not. I have on two occasions, both coming back from Washington, D.C., sitting both times directly in back of him on a flight. And he came onto the flight, obviously impaired, and continued to drink most of the flight home. And the amount of alcohol I saw consumed on both of those flights, I'm not sure they put him over the edge additionally, but had I had that much alcohol, I can tell you, I'd practically have to be carried out of the airplane.
Okay. And by the way, just for the record, when I directly asked Congressman Grijalva about when all that dust up came up about drinking, and he said he has never been drinking on the job. Don Jorgensen, your reaction, please.
Well, the attack on Raul Grijalva was not about his personal habits. It was about his ethnicity. You know, he, as you just quoted, this guy Pearson said he's not a good example of a Mexican or a good example of a Mexican-American. And my reaction was, are you kidding me? Ethnic attacks have no place in society, and they certainly have no place in a congressional race. It's unbelievable when you look at 2018, you look at Southern Arizona, and you have this kind of personal attack. It really tells you two things. Number one, it tells you Pearson has no business in a race representing Arizonans. I mean, he's pretty much disqualified himself by sinking to that level. It's the Republicans that always complain about identity politics, and this is identity politics at its worst. Second, it tells you that if that's all he's got, then this guy, again, is not qualified. You know, he obviously didn't competently attack any issues or didn't discuss any issues. He went right to this, and it's frankly despicable. You know, I think it frankly ought to disqualify any congressional candidate, and certainly ought to disqualify Pearson.
Well, I watched the entire debate, and true, Mr. Pearson did go right to that point to begin with. You know, Don and Bill, this is an interesting topic because it certainly is a disqualifier if somebody isn't also a Hispanic to call out somebody who doesn't represent Hispanics in a very good way. The results of Mr. Grijalva's being in office now for, gosh, I guess 16 years is pretty clear. That the community that he serves, for the most part, those that he says he wants to help the most, he really hasn't helped very much. Unemployment is still very high. Income growth is still very, very low. Participation within the workforce is still amazingly low. The conditions in some of the areas where he really could have an impact have not improved that much. I cite, for example, the plumbing conditions, if you will, in Nogales, and how they affect all of us downstream from Nogales with sewage issues. What Mr. Grijalva has mainly focused on are things that are a big deal to him. No borders, a weakening of our national defense, Medicare for all, and finally, and more recently, the impeachment of the president. And that seems to be a drumbeat that he continues to make. I'm not sure that I would have tried to out-Mexican my opponent, but Nick Pearson is a great example of Latinos in this country who have continued to do well for themselves and for their families, have developed businesses, and who actually have been on the right side of a paycheck, and that's signing the front side. I'm not aware of at any time in Mr. Grijalva's history, and perhaps Don can correct me, where he's actually been on the side where he is signing a paycheck for anybody. He has always been on the government dole or some not-for-profit extreme group's dole.
I don't know. I won't put you on the spot there, Don.
No, that's okay. Where I will correct you is that the problems you described in Nogales and that area in terms of the job rates and all that, are not the responsibility of the congressman, but of the state, the Republican leadership, and the governor. And that's where you can point a finger if you wish to. At the same time, you're talking about a successful business person in his district, so that may speak to what Representative Grijalva has accomplished. At the same time, yes, he's been in the minority, and so it's been incumbent upon him to speak out when he sees the minority being threatened or not being treated fairly or providing equal opportunity. And Raul Grijalva is as much a champion of that as anyone in the United States, not just in District 3.
If Raul Grijalva was a champion of the underdog, champion of the underprivileged, during the time that he did serve in the majority, we would have seen him champion the kind of legislation that would have been a direct improvement to the economic outcome and the social upward mobility of those that he represents.
Which all began with the need for health care for all.
All right. Before we transition over to the latest national news about Judge Kavanaugh, we'll take our break right here. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. After you go by Moe's, probably you'll be hungry. Maybe you're hungry right now. So why not stop by Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Mona's is home of the Danish Kringle, and they do such a great job with all of their baked breads that came out of the oven just a few hours ago. So when you go by for your sandwich, the bread, you'll have a wide variety of breads to choose from, and it will be very fresh.
I was there. I smelled the bread. It was pretty
good. Oh, you did go by. Yeah. Okay. And, of course, Don loves the Danish Kringle, being of Danish descent.
Oh, yeah. And thanks a lot. It's lunchtime, and I'm hungry now.
There you go. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. Also a link to all of our great partners that make our program possible. We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Tuesday during the noon hour for a visit with Randy Seraglio of the Tucson-based Center for Biological Diversity. Plus, our Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report, all happening on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice, anywhere in the world, live streaming, podcasts, and archive at buckmastershow.com. Back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gowrie and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgowrie.com and on Facebook. Dr. Don Jorgensen is seated to my left and Bruce Ash to my right. Judge Kavanaugh says, latest headline here, he will not be intimidated into withdrawing. Should he withdraw or should the Republicans pull the nomination, Don Jorgensen?
Well, yes, but they won't. There's such a taint on it now. There's so many questions now that have arisen. We're looking at this isn't a courtroom. This is a job interview, and there are so many questions raised, and the candidate now is so tainted by them and by the legitimate questions as well as the process itself, which I'm sure we'll get back to, that the Republicans would be smart to pull the nomination. And it's not as though they're going to get a Democrat. They're going to get another conservative judge. But perhaps they could, and again, it won't happen, but they would have the opportunity to nominate someone without the question marks. But I suspect we're going to go right through and see a real questionable hearing occur on Thursday. And who knows what will happen after that, but we have a pretty good idea.
Republicans are going to go to the mat on this one, Bruce Ash.
Well, they should. Look, the only people who are raising the issues really are Democrats, and they're Democrats who have a lot to lose. This is a very important member of the Supreme Court. The issue, I think, as much as anything else, and the senator from Hawaii, I think, really gave away the argument, and certainly she was more vocal about it. Others have been a little bit more subdued or quiet about it. The issue is abortion, and I think that Judge Kavanaugh said it very, very well. Is that he understands the importance of Roe v. Wade as well as Obergefell and some other landmark cases that have come before the Supreme Court, and his nomination is not all about abortion, which is what the Democrats have made it. For a party and for a group who talks about life as much as they do and choosing life and so on, it's amazing to me that they would subvert this process the way they have, and there are some parallels to what happened with Judge Thomas, Justice Thomas, back 25 years or so ago, mm-hmm. with this one, but this one really is even worse because when the Anita Hill thing came up in Justice Thomas confirmation. Joe Biden took that information immediately to the Republican members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. He took it immediately to the White House. Nobody has still seen that letter. Nobody really understands what's going on
here.
That's not true. The Democrats have held all of this information, and they have made unreasonable, I think, demands that would skew this confirmation all in one way. And I'm glad that the process is going to continue. I think everybody needs to hear Dr. Ford and Judge Kavanaugh. And I think that at the end of the day, each of the parties is going to get a fair hearing. Judge Kavanaugh should be presumed innocent until he's proven guilty, and not the other way around. That's the way our country works, not just in the court of a court of law, but in the court of public opinion.
When women speak out about sexual abuse, potential rape, they're not subverting the process. They're making their voices heard because they're disturbed about in this case, this individual. And they come forward at great cost, as we've seen this with Dr. Ford. She predicted what was going to happen, and she was absolutely right. She's been hounded, threatened, had to leave her home, subjected to ridicule, as are now the other another woman and perhaps a third or fourth coming forward as well. They
I'm sure you'll dig up some more.
Well, you don't have to. Because they're coming forward, realizing what they're in for. But it's that kind of attitude that has permeated this hearing and the Senate GOP. This has become pretty obvious that it was no longer just a confirmation process. It was almost an attempt at a cover-up. And let me tell you what I mean by that. They were aware of the letter. An attempt to suppress that. They know that there are other people with information like this Mark Judge. They're refusing to subpoena him to have him come in. They bullied Dr. Ford when they're negotiating to try to get her to come in and speak. They refused an FBI to call for an FBI investigation. Now, you would think if Judge Kavanaugh and the Republicans wanted to get to the truth, they would welcome that to clear his name, to clear these questions. The Democrats have asked for the investigation. The accusers have asked for an FBI investigation. Would you do that if you were making it up? She has named someone else who was in the room. Would you do that if you were making it up? No. It's the Democrats that have asked for that. The Republicans have refused to call key witnesses like Judge. They've tried to rush the vote, and now we know why. We just found out that McConnell, Grassley, knew about these additional allegations last week. And instead of saying, whoa, let's slow down and have a full investigation, they tried to rush the vote and sweep it under the rug and get it done. Any hearing now without investigation would strictly be theater. And I think it's going to have a severe backlash among the voters in November, certainly among women who have seen women subjected to this kind of these kinds of attacks time and time again.
Bruce, hang on to your thought, will you, so we can get these two calls in, because we are going to have to be really on time today because we've got Democratic gubernatorial nominee David Garcia at 12:30. So let's go now to Kurt. Please keep your comment real brief, Kurt. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Bill. I would like to ask both of your guests what they would think about someone like a former Justice Kennedy coming before the Judiciary Committee to basically bring some reasonableness and rationality to what truly has become a circus. I think his would be a powerful voice to speak about what's going on now in Congress with this whole affair, and give us, the American people, what we need in terms of objectivity relative to what this process is supposed to be.
Okay. Kurt? Thank you, Kurt. Bruce and Don, any comment?
I'm not sure what the point of that would be in terms of the Senate investigation. Justice Kennedy certainly has the right to speak up at any time.
Greg.
He's already endorsed his candidate.
Greg, go ahead.
Thank you, Bill. Dr. Jorgensen, my question would be, you just mentioned they're trying to forestall the FBI from getting involved. I don't know if you've seen the news in the last year, but the FBI is tainted right now. They were trying to prevent Trump from getting elected, some individuals within the agency, and it's silly. This thing happened so many years ago. When I was at Tucson High in the 60s, I got written up by the Traditions Committee because I kissed my girlfriend in the hallway, and they called that a cheap public display of affection. Or maybe it was a public display of cheap affection. I don't remember which, but okay. But I had to clean the cafeteria, and this is tantamount to that. The guy, I mean, she has been so, this accuser has been so supportive of Democrats. The evidence is out there. And to say that they're trying to, you know, hide things, that's silly.
All right.
You know what the real issue is here? The real issue is Kavanaugh is an originalist. And he intends on interpreting the Constitution as the framers and founders intended it to be. That is the real issue here. It has nothing to do with any of this other circus that's going on at the present time.
I will compare Neil Gorsuch hearing where none of this occurred and the Kavanaugh hearing today where it is occurring.
Because it didn't make any difference.
Because women are coming forward.
There was all this hullabaloo.
And you can either listen to what they have to say and take it seriously, or you can railroad it. And yeah, that's what's happening now. And this attack on the FBI is just scurrilous. They're doing their job every day to protect Americans. They keep politics out of those offices for the most part. You're talking about rank and file folks who do the investigations, and they know what it takes. And
the candidate,
if you want to continue with the Fox News bullet points, that's fine, but it's not accurate.
The candidate has undergone five different FBI investigations. The candidate has received previous...
And not in these areas. And those investigations after the first one tend to look at only what's happened since the previous. It doesn't go back and look at these.
And you know that because you're on the FBI, I suspect. Look, this is about the Constitution. The next guy that we put up, if another guy gets put up, that guy is going to be just as conservative. And we're going to have just another day with another group of arguments, all of it designed to railroad. This is more about the character and integrity of the Supreme Court. This is about object and resist, nothing else.
The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gowrie and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgowrie.com and on Facebook. Thank you, Moe, for your support of our Monday Political Face-Off. Don Jorgensen, thank you, Don.
A pleasure.
And Bruce Ash, thank you very much. We'll look for your work coming up on your show
Saturday
afternoon at 12. Who are your guests, quickly?
Nick Pearson and Wendy Rogers.
Oh, speaking of Nick Pearson. Okay. We'll be right back with Dr. David Garcia. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Welcome.
Welcome back. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by our friends at Green Things, 3384 East River Road, by the Rito River and just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. I was over there and visited Green Things Saturday, bought some beautiful geraniums to get my fall planting going. Everybody's excited about Zocalo. Zocalo is now quartered over at Green Things. In fact, there's a pre-grand opening event every day through November the 15th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Come tour the five shops at Zocalo Village and finish your visit in the gallery and stay for the complimentary wine bar. That's all going on over at Green Things. More information at greenthingsaz.com. Well, Governor Doug Ducey and his Democratic rival, Dr. David Garcia, will be squaring off over the next two nights in really the only two live televised debates that will be going on before the general election. The first debate is tonight up in Phoenix on Arizona Public Television, and then the debate tomorrow organized by my old alma mater, Arizona Public Media, in partnership with KJZZ and the Arizona Daily Star. So both are going to be televised. The Tucson debate gets underway at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Let's welcome now Dr. David Garcia, who is with us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. Dr. Garcia, how are you?
Bill, thank you very much. I am doing great. Ready to go tonight. I think it is unfortunate that there are only two debates and neither of them are audience debates. We'd love to have more. We think it's important for the people of Arizona to see their gubernatorial candidates, know what they're about. But we got two and we wish there were more.
And there's no live audience participation, correct?
No, there is no live audience participation. Again, I believe that the people of Arizona should see us as much as possible, know who we are so they can cast an informed vote. We asked for more. We asked for more audience participation, and unfortunately, the governor has declined, but we're still going to go out there and continue to make our case to the people of Arizona.
And what are you going to be hammering on during these two televised debates? What issues are you going to present in a rather, I'm sure, forceful way?
Education. The issue is education, over and over again. Regardless of the people I talk to, it's education. You know, candidate Ducey mentioned that education was a key issue, the issue when he ran, and yet at the end of his administration, 75,000 teachers walked to his front door because we are still one of the very worst states in the country to be a teacher. And he insulted them with a 2% raise and called their efforts a political circus. And it wasn't until after some very strong political pressure that he decided to do more. But this was a problem when he walked in the door, and it's a problem that's worse now that he is in his last administration and walking out the door. And education is not just with respect to teachers. We need to improve our schools, but education is the key economic driver that we need to improve in Arizona if we want to continue to prosper as a state.
And this Wallet Hub survey is out today. Arizona is the second worst state for teachers. Actually, we were 50th in the pupil-teacher ratio. These numbers are really, really dismal.
Well, they are, and I am proud of our teachers for stepping up and doing something about it. It was what I'm hearing over and over again from teachers out there and from everyday Arizonans is that they are looking for a change. They understand how important public education is. They are ready to invest in our public schools. And yet, Doug Ducey and his stacked Supreme Court have taken that voice away from Arizonans by pulling the Invest in Ed Act off of the ballot. And regardless of whether or not you thought it was good policy or not, 270,000 Arizonans signed their name to have their voice heard and to have their vote heard on the Invest in Ed initiative. And I think it's a tragedy that their voice is not going to be heard and it was taken away from Arizonans.
You were at an event last night at the Rialto Theater in downtown Tucson. It was kind of energized, get-out-the-vote Democratic gathering. And I heard a couple of clips on Facebook. You're pretty passionate about making sure that kids at younger ages get excited about education. I heard that message.
Well, so one of the things that may, folks outside education may not understand, and actually I think parents understand this as well. So I'm an educator, and I am proud to have the backing of our educators. And you cannot force anybody to learn. In fact, one of my favorite sayings, and I'm not sure where it came from. I've heard it's an ancient Chinese proverb. I'm not exactly sure because it's got a couple different origins. But, you know, the idea that when the student is ready, the master appears. And the way to engage students is by starting with their interest and then building their education from there. And the bottom line is standardized testing isn't interesting. I went to public schools, and I'll tell you, you know, if you ask somebody about their most transformative experiences in the classroom, nobody mentions, very rarely, if ever, have I ever heard standardized testing. We need to return to getting students interested, real-world outcomes, so that students can learn to educate themselves. And we're going to have a very different relationship when I'm governor with education. We're going to trust our teachers again. We're going to give them the ability to go into classrooms and teach real-world outcomes that get students ready for life after high school, because getting ready, answering a multiple-choice test does not get you ready for life after high school. There are no multiple choices in life, and I think that that's a very limited view of what we can do in education.
Do you think there was this effort to get the Red for Ed off the ballot because there was a thinking in the Ducey camp that this would perhaps keep some of the teachers away from the polls and some of those teachers from voting for you?
I don't think that this is just beyond teachers. I think this is beyond teachers in terms of everyday Arizonans who are upset by this. You know, one of the things that we need to return back to the state level is integrity in our government and integrity in the governor's office. And everyday Arizonans understand that Doug Ducey stacked the Supreme Court, added two more justices, really for many people believe outcomes just like this. And you know, from my perspective, what I'm hearing is that people understand that if we want long-term change in Arizona, and we do need that change, we need to change leadership. And I am looking forward to being part of that, to helping teachers really get back to what we need to focus on in public schools, and that is making sure we have the resources necessary so that our students have the best shot available out there to improve their lives and, you know, reach the American dream.
You know, I'm sure this will come up in the debates tonight and tomorrow about ICE. Has there been some confusion about your position about the future of immigration in this country and Arizona?
Well, let's start with immigration as a federal issue to begin with. I have and will continue to be critical about the separation of families. And this discussion started with some real historic cruelties happening with respect to the separation of children from their families. And I will continue to be vocal there. But what I think people are talking about is not as much the policies as much as they are the ads out there. And, you know, I want to make it clear, I am against Trump's wall. But then again, I believe that what we need to move toward is an immigration system that matches our American values, and that is security, first and foremost, lawful entry for those ready to contribute to the United States and to be a place of refuge for those most in need. I believe those are the foundations of our American immigration system and one where we need to get back to.
Well, the some of the ads have said that you want to abolish ICE. Do you want to clarify that?
Never said it. If you look at that, that is the reference on that is an editorial in the Arizona Republic where the writer interpreted my position as such. And so I have never said it, and I know that there are folks out there looking and won't find it because it's not my position. Look, we have two extremes here, getting rid of ICE on one hand and a zero tolerance policy on the other. And I believe that the path forward is in the middle. It is replacing ICE, just like ICE was replaced INS before it, but with an agency and an immigration system that matches the values I just mentioned. And in my opinion, that's the direction we need to go.
You are a United States Army veteran, correct?
Correct, yeah, absolutely.
How do you feel about American troops on the border?
You know, any time that you send out troops, it needs to be with a clear mission in mind. And the last I understood, the troops on the border were there because Trump had a scare call of thousands, and a caravan of thousands of immigrants rushing toward the border. And to the best of my knowledge, that was the mission that was put forward. If that mission is complete, then what you need to do when you deploy your troops is pull them back. And if that mission is complete, and to the best of my knowledge it is, then we need to pull back the National Guard.
There is a large group of undecided, from what I've been able to determine from some of the polls I've been looking at. This is your opportunity tonight and tomorrow on these debates to perhaps win those people over. I'm sure that's one of your goals. How will you clarify this? What will be the clarifying difference between you and Governor Ducey after these two debates?
An investment in education. Education is the issue that Arizonans are talking about. It's the issue that the governor does not want to talk about because it has been the area that he has failed. It is my strength, and it is his weakness. And as an educator and with somebody with daughters in Arizona's public schools, we will never have a governor more committed to public schools and public education than me. And not only is that going to improve the lives of students and children across Arizona, it is the issue that we need to focus on from an economic development standpoint. Over and over and over again, Arizona is passed by because we do not invest in public schools, because we do not have a highly trained workforce. And with me, we're going to focus on that. We're going to make that the priority for Arizona. And I believe that those policies are not partisan at all. I believe they touch every single aspect of Arizona and are going to help develop an economy and a state that works for everybody.
And right now the brakes are being put on Arizona's economic development because people are looking at these dismal teacher ratings. Is that your contention?
That is absolutely my contention. Not just my contention. It's something that I hear from the business community routinely. It's what I read when I look at comparisons, for example, between Arizona and other states. And in addition, when we do see some investment, it is almost exclusively tied to one of our state universities. It's when we see high-tech and high-wage jobs coming into Arizona, often and in many, many cases, there are partnerships with our state universities to make them happen. If we know that is the path forward, then I question why we're not moving forward, and I believe that Doug Ducey has failed in this area, and you will see a very strong investment and attention to Arizona public education, and Arizona is going to prosper as a result.
And your website for folks that would like to visit?
Folks can reach our team at DG, my initials, the number 4AZ.com. We are out there across Arizona connecting with voters directly to let them know that people are looking for new leadership and that we represent that leadership, ready to fight for the people of Arizona. And that begins with making sure we invest in public education.
All right. Dr. David Garcia, we'll be watching the debates. Thank you very much for spending some time with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill. Take care.
Dr. David Garcia, the Democratic nominee for governor in the state of Arizona, preparing for these two live televised debates tonight and tomorrow. We'll take our break right here. We'll be back Monday edition, Buckmaster. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show as we get ready to wind up September already. Hard to believe that fall is here in the desert. Great time of year to go over to one of our great partners, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's only about a 3-hour drive from Tucson, but it is a world different, I'll tell you. It's a beautiful area. Elevation about 5,000 to 6,000 feet. That means you're going to be getting those warm days and cool nights this time of year. And yes, the autumn leaves do turn in that part of the Southwest. So this is a great time to get over there, perhaps a weekend, or if you have some time off midweek, why not? Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find a complete listing of the great places to stay. There's several dozen really nice places to stay in the area and a like number of recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's welcome now Ashley Janicki. Ashley is involved very much so with this really neat project from the United Way of Tucson and Southern Arizona. Ashley is the Opportunity Youth Change Network facilitator for the United Way. Ashley, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure, a chance to introduce our listeners to a pretty neat project. This has to do with, I guess you could call it a heavy project if you start lifting up 21,000 backpacks. Why is United Way trying to gather this many backpacks?
Yeah, so this is both an art installation and a massive donation drive aiming to raise awareness about the over 21,000 opportunity youth in Pima County. So those are young folks between the ages of 16 and 24 that are out of school or out of work because of economic, social, and educational barriers. And so that is a big number. Many of these young folks were in foster care or part of that system in some way. And so we're working to reconnect those young folks and really raise awareness about who they are as individuals. And that's why we're collecting 21,000 of these backpacks.
Let's talk about the youth curated art installation on the U of A campus. What What will this visual be all about?
Yeah, so again, we in our work, we talk a lot about statistics and the numbers. And so over 21,000 opportunity youth, and we have a youth council actually that said, we want to humanize this statistic. We want folks to really see the impact of what this number looks like. And so with whatever number of backpacks we get, we will have this art installation on the U of A Mall on October 31st. And they will be deciding what that looks like. It will be an interactive art installation, so folks will be able to walk through the backpacks. There'll be information about the stories of these young folks, and it'll be a really powerful visual for people to understand what this number is and what it looks like.
Because the visual, the picture still, I think, is worth, as they say, the old cliche, a picture's worth a thousand words. People are going to see all those backpacks out there on the mall, and they're going to say, hey, each one of those backpacks represents a young person who's struggling right now and could use some help.
Yes, yes. And there are lots of them. And for a variety of reasons, they are, you know, not in school or not working. And we're looking to the community to help, you know, change the language. A lot of times in the past, they were considered at risk or disconnected. And we want to look at these young folks as an opportunity. Both they're interested in opportunities for themselves, but they're an opportunity for our community as well. And it's a chance for us to help support getting them back on a pathway to school and work.
I'll tell you, if just one kid out of these 21,000 can be motivated to change their life, I think it would be worth it.
Yeah, agreed. And, you know, the other major piece of this is we're not only going to have this art installation, but we're going to be providing these backpacks to opportunity youth. So they will right. all go into the hands of these young folks after the actual installation on October 31st.
How big a problem is dropouts in this county?
You know, it is a challenging issue to tackle, but there are a lot of schools that are part of our larger Cradle to Career partnership at United Way that are looking at, you know, the reasons why behind young folks becoming disconnected. And so there are efforts to try and improve those numbers. One of them, the TUSD's Steps to Success program. So actually going out and knocking on doors. So there's lots of efforts that are being made to reconnect these young folks. But it is a challenge.
How can our listeners get involved in perhaps donating a backpack? How does this work?
Yeah, so there are multiple drop-off locations across town. Bookman's, Vantage West, we'll be touring different Starbucks throughout mm-hmm. town. So you can actually go to our website, just the UnitedWayTucson.org website for more details. But folks can donate new or gently used backpacks or funds, and we can purchase those backpacks as well. So we're looking, we have multiple ways for folks to get involved.
The installation itself, you said it would be out on the mall.
Mm-hmm.
When will you have some idea of what we can expect on the visual?
Yeah, so our young folks are working on that right now. My guess would be in the next 3 weeks, we'll have a clear understanding, and we'll be sending out invites and all of that. But we'll have a clear understanding of what that looks like. But we want it to be visual and interactive. So you can sort of imagine these backpacks out on the mall, and folks being able to walk through that installation.
Tell me a little bit about your own background and how you got so interested in helping young people and through your efforts at United Way.
Yeah, so I was supposed to be a high school social studies teacher.
Okay.
And realized a traditional classroom wasn't the spot for me,
mm-hmm.
but that I really wanted to help support young folks. So I, in the past, have worked in workforce development programs with a partnership in a park system and 4-H. Many folks know 4-H to be more about agriculture, but it's also about positive youth development. And so I had an opportunity to get connected up with that, and through that ended up in Tucson and kind of haphazardly landed at United Way in what really is the perfect spot for me, working with young folks side by side to really give them a voice and give them an opportunity to make a change for themselves.
You know, if you took each of the 21,000 individuals who have these struggles in their lives, you would probably get 21,000 different reasons for each individual, correct?
Yeah. So there are just so
many times
many
we generalize,
barriers.
You know, we say it's economics or we say it's personal, but everybody's got their own set of circumstances.
Agreed. And that is a lot of the why behind this project, is to help raise up those stories, those individual stories of young folks that are trying and oftentimes are just hit with so many barriers that they're unable to stay on those pathways.
And it's not just kids who have decided for whatever reason to leave high school. These are kids, in some cases, in their early 20s who just really are struggling to figure out what they want to do with their life.
Yeah, they may have children themselves or have just had some negative experiences with systems. And so they're just unsure and need support from caring adults to help get them back on those pathways.
We've been speaking with Ashley Janicki. Ashley is the Opportunity Youth Change Network facilitator for United Way of Tucson in Southern Arizona. They've got this great project going on. If you want to help out, and I encourage you to do so, again, give us the details about the backpacks.
Yes. So you can go to UnitedWayTucson.org. You can donate backpacks. You can drop them off at United Way, Bookman's, Vantage West, locations across town. But you can go to our website to find out all those spots, as well as donate monetarily on that website as well.
And check out your closet. I've probably got a backpack that's probably been used once or twice.
We'll take it.
That would be perfect.
We'll take it.
I'm going to actually go home and check it out after the show here. Ashley, thank you so much, and congratulations on the work you're doing at United Way of Tucson, Southern Arizona.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me.
All right. Coming up, we do Michael Medved is next, our national talk show. And then tomorrow morning, local talk resumes 6 to 9 with Wake Up Tucson. Me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you at 12:04. And our noon hour soiree continues tomorrow. On behalf of Ray Allen, my fine engineer producer, and Ashley Janicki, thank you, Ashley, for coming in.
Thank you.
Have a great afternoon and evening.